Welcome back to the Boat of Knowledge. That is Behind the Beard, WNC, a great podcast. Four guys get together. We banter about all sorts of things. It's usually high school football.
Indeed.
Another football. Gentlemen, it's good to be back. Back in the Boat of Knowledge with you three.
I'm glad you're finally here.
The intellectual trust that is Mike and Lewis Anderson and Carson Jones. Unparalleled scope and just bravado that's unparalleled in podcast history.
What's he saying? I'm not sure, but it's good to have Pat Pohl back in the States, back on land. I tell you what, it's not been the same without you, Pat.
Indeed. Apparently I'm a beach property owner in the Florida Keys where there are no beaches. So yes. Somehow I found a big beach. Is that what I did?
I told Pat, I said, that's how you could tell the three of us. We've never been to the Keys. We thought there was a beach down there. It's at the ocean. Where's the beaches?
I've been to the Keys. There are islands down there.
There are islands. They're just covered in mangroves and no real beaches.
When we call it a beach, I mean, he bought the whole island.
Right.
I did. I had to have the whole key.
The whole key.
I had to buy a key. Little castling key?
I don't think they have a castling key down there, although that would be appropriate.
Now, this next weekend, though, I hear you're going to EKU.
I am going to the Eastern Kentucky football game this next week.
You're
going to
take our liquor orders.
Get your bourbon orders in, everyone.
Get your bourbon orders in so I can mule it back for you. Yeah, that'd be great. Good times.
Is it legal to bring it across state lines?
I don't think so. Isn't that what's called bootlegging?
Yeah, it is
legal.
Pat is a bootlegger.
No.
That's where the money comes from.
Yes.
Mike, that's where our families made some money. Yeah. He brings it for personal consumption.
Indeed.
Mm. All right.
Well, guys, I mean, what some football happening at all levels. It's been very exciting. I know, Mike, you're on cloud nine with NC State. Yeah, wow.
What a win, huh?
Yeah, and Mike had boots on the ground at the game.
He did. Yeah. And people stormed the field and everything.
Yes. It was so Carter, one of the guys said it earlier, it's true. Carter Finley at night's a different animal. And strange things happen, and State got the win. But it's just one of those things. A day or two after you got it, you know, I've told Luke, listen. This stuff happens, it won't continue to happen.
Did you guys rip the field goal down?
No. They just rushed the field. They didn't tear the goalpost down.
Now, there's usually, isn't there a fine now associated with universities that have the kids
run? $50,000.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I think NC State's probably happy to have paid that. No problem.
I mean, listen, $50,000 in college football realm is basically what? Like the change you find in your couch.
Did you see the Dabo fine today?
No.
In his post-game press conference, he said something about how, like, he's done a lot of football games and stuff, but, like, that was the worst call he's ever seen in his life, and they fined him.
Wow.
Which, like Mike said, it's just, I mean, the money in college football. I mean, we're talking another coach got fired.
Another one,
yeah,
yes.
Another one. So now we have the big ones that are open. You got Penn State, you've got LSU, you've got Florida, and now Auburn.
Yep.
And Lane Kiffin will be at four of these open jobs. I'm just not sure which four.
Correct.
Do you think he'll leave? You honestly, he's got his kids in school and everything going down. Do you think he's going to head out?
Yes.
So I'm not sure. Here's the thing.
I'm not sold either.
What are you looking? So remind me, he's at Ole Miss, right?
Yeah. He's
so at Ole Miss, the expectations are that you play pretty good. You can win you could lose a couple at Ole Miss, and it's okay. But you go to LSU, you go to Alabama, you go to Penn State. They expect you to win every football game.
Yeah.
So he's in a great place.
He is kind of the Dabo of Ole Miss, where he has made them very, very relevant.
He's made them relevant. You lose a game or two to Alabama or to, an Ohio State, it's okay. And
you can have that 9-10 win season, and it's like he has a job for life. He is always going to be talked about as that. But what other coaches are? I mean, there's just not with the way the portal is. And how hard it is to just build up a program for 3 or 4 years. It's like coaches are getting fired faster, but it's also there's not an enormous list of proven, like, bona fide head coaches that you want. I mean, I read a text right before we got on here. It said, I mean, how many coaches are mad at Kurt Cignetti? Because that is now, like, we talk about standards a lot on this podcast, but, you know, organizations and schools are, you know, thinking that that's just like, that they want to go find that guy, and that's super, super, like, possible, where it just – college football is very difficult.
Yeah, and a lot of these schools have unrealistic expectations. The other piece to the puzzle is, I'm concerned of who the head coach is, but we may have heard this on another podcast. Who are you bringing with you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Who's your OC? Who's your DC?
Yeah.
Because you can't make all those decisions yourself. You cannot call every play from the sideline.
Yep.
That's true.
How do you feel about these colleges making decisions based upon whether or not donors are going to give them funds or not?
Well, that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
It's great. But is that not wild?
Very, very wild. Being that that was definitely faux pas 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So speaking of coaches, did you guys see the quote from Tuscola head coach Jonathan Crompton today that made big news?
I saw you put that in the text thread, briefly looked at it, and then Derek had a comment about it. But enlighten me. Enlighten the user,
just
fans.
Absolutely wild. So it was on a post-game podcast. Quote, "I'm not the one to call for a coach to get fired. That's not my thing," Crompton said on the Big Orange podcast post-game show. "What I'm saying is I do think Heupel is our James Franklin. He's going to win us 9, 10 ball games a year. The odd year we'll get to 11, and that's about our ceiling."
Yeah. If you're 3-4 in the conference, what does that make you? Because that's what he is.
I don't know. I mean, that's just an alarmingly wild quote, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is wild. Do you think he's wanting to go back there as a coach or something?
I don't know. I mean, his best year there, he was 7-5 in the SEC, which is great. I mean, which is not bad at all. But then, I mean, Heupel's been better than that the last couple of years. So
Carson, if you get fired from a university and, you know, you're sitting there with that $50 million check rolling in, how soon do you get off the sideline and try to get a job?
Well, a lot of their contracts, you have to get another job.
I know you have to try, but like, how long are you comfortable sitting there? Are you okay to let the game pass you by, or are you going to try to get right back on?
You don't want your name to get cold.
Well, the issue is what makes these college coaches is they're psychos. I mean, these
they're a different breed.
I mean,
for
they're
sure.
a different breed.
I agree with you.
So they're like, in my opinion, like, I think it was, we've talked about Josh Pate's podcast, college football podcast, but he talked about like Billy Napier. It's like, you know, these are absolute of the most alpha males individuals you ever meet. And it's like, it doesn't matter if they're, you know, giving you $25 million. It's like when someone says you are not good enough, like that's,
you got to prove them wrong.
You got to prove them wrong. So, I mean, these guys think they are good enough. And so I think that is part of the reason why they're in the positions they're in. But college football coaches are not the normal, you know, we all laugh. And it's like that buyout's like, catch me playing golf with Pat and the Keys. I mean, we're just
agony.
I'm going to be down there. But these guys, I mean, football's all I know. It's like, right. How many? And I think Matt Rhule talked about it. It's like, oh, this money's great. But it's like, he's not spending the money. He's at the football facility. Yeah. How many hours a week do you think they're at the football
facility? His wife's spending the
money. His wife is spending
the money.
The
other piece of the puzzle is,
no, Mike, you hold on. I mean, I would be okay with that. I mean, would you not be okay with having a $2 million house? You never get to go there, spend any of your money, but think about the perks to that job, though. Like you said, how many days has old boy
Brian been? Kelly logged 400 rounds of golf at the local country club in
that's
his tenure
Carson
at LSU?
Numbers.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
I mean, alarming that his average score was 95.
Yeah.
What I need to know about, though, with when we're talking about standards and expectations is...
I like that conversation right now.
Michael, help me understand the bar you're setting with the tailgate at NC State. Where are we with that process?
He did bring a bus this time.
Did you?
So I'm on the low end, right? I take the Blackstone. And, you know, I have a TV set up. Lewis let me borrow this fantastic battery pack. They got a lot of people coming to check it out. But I had a TV and, you know, the grill. But listen, there's people show up with trailers with TVs in them that have, like, these huge tents. And it's funny because, you know, you park in your parking spot. Well, you think, you know, in real life, you're like, well, I can't extend too far this parking spot. No, you can take the whole road if that's what you want to do. I mean... it's wild. There's a lot of people that tailgate. It's a lot of good fun.
There's a guy that we used to do youth football league with and was with every Saturday morning setting up. And he was talking about when we were at Travis's birthday party, his tailgate for the App State game. Apparently, he brings a tent, has people like catering, doing all. I mean, it's crazy how far you can go into it.
Yeah, yeah. So next year, if we go the route we're thinking, I'm definitely getting a tent. But, I mean, I'll still be grilling my own food.
Oh, yeah.
Now, are you getting together your posse, your crew there that you're tailgating with that you're organizing.
Yeah, and, me and Ange and Luke.
That's it?
Well, yeah. Maybe I may be adding a couple more next year. A friend of ours' daughter may be going there, and if so, maybe we'll add them in too. Mr. Bill McGee, friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. Indeed.
Okay. That'd be awesome.
So let's talk about.
Oh, wait. Now, I have to bring up one other thing.
Okay, no. Whatever you want to talk about. And you had been here a few weeks. You probably got a lot to talk about.
Well, I just have to vent just how badly my Washington Commanders just crapped the bed yesterday.
Did you see the picture of his elbow?
Oh, that looked awful. And you know, I love the guy. He's happy, smiles all the time. But is he not just as skinny as a toothpick? I mean,
yes.
My gosh.
No one talked about how skinny he was when he was dominating last year.
Nope. I did. No, I noticed it last year. Heck yeah.
Why was he in the game, Pat?
I have no idea.
I mean, I'm not going to call. It's not my job to call for another man's coaching job, but.
What'd you say, Jonathan?
But that's crazy. That's crazy. He's still in the game down 30.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got Jaden in fantasy, so it's like I'm a little bitter. I'm a little bitter.
I mean, he's obviously a talented kid, but he needs to eat a sandwich or something.
Yeah.
Mm. So let's talk about picks from last week. You guys want to do that?
Please.
Still not a fantastic week for both of us. Most of us.
Looks like I'm buying dinner.
Let's hope so.
We've decided we're going to the Scotsman, by the way.
Oh, good. I'm glad we've decided
we've
that.
We've decided, yeah.
We've decided that.
Majority. Also, a viewer mentioned that that's where all the Waynesville swingers go to meet up. So,
indeed.
Keep your eyes open, Pat.
So this week, this was the last week of the regular season, obviously. Lewis, 4-6.
Wah, wah, wah.
Pat, 5-5. Mike, 5-5. Freaking Carson pulls one out of the hat, 8-2.
Just in time.
Wow.
So season standings, Carson goes from second to win the regular season champion, 62-42. Lewis, 61-43. Mike, 56-48. And Pat, 51-53.
Wow.
Carson, you won by one.
So does that mean, if I won by one game, does that mean that if Lewis, was there really one game that stood out that like me and Lewis were different on?
I mean, really, it's the Owen game. Lewis didn't trust his boys to cover.
Indeed.
Wow. Dude,
indeed.
Talk about the football gods, which, I mean, Lewis brought up. Owen 9-10 this year covering the spread.
And Lewis didn't pick him.
And Lewis waited for the last week to just hand me the regular season title. And so for that, I knew me and Lewis were close, and I knew we were boys. Owen forever has a place in my heart. They are officially my boys as well as the Cougars.
Well, yeah, since you picked them, I would think so.
Yeah.
Indeed. They hate you out there. I'm just joking.
Wow.
It's me. They hate
me. They do hate Mike.
I mean, we talked about how we got to give Lewis a hard time, but Lewis was leading most of the year. And just what a 8-2. When I saw that text come in and said big shakeup, I was like, oh, I didn't know it was going to be that big.
Real big.
So
Carson, we also had some Instagram comments.
We did.
And we love feedback. We love for you guys to comment on our stuff.
No, we absolutely want.
We find this fun.
We do find this fun. It seems to me that I think the spread this week, it was week 11, it really is when it kind of caught some players
off guard. It's a wild spot.
Wild spot for the spread to be in question in week 11.
And we don't have to name the actual players, but their teams.
But, you know, we had some Brevard love in there about how crazy we were and we can't be
because
serious.
Because three of us picked Pisgah. Well, guess what? Pisgah covered.
Pisgah covered. Crazy.
Pisgah covered.
That was an overtime game. They almost lost.
Yeah.
And then we also had an Asheville player, a friend of the show, really. And we can't be serious. Laughing face, crying face, crying face, crying face. And
they almost got beat by Inca.
And Inca also covered.
Don't be coming at us with heat. Your team may not do so good.
No. So we also, I mean, we just, it's just one of those. It's like, guys, you know, if you listen to the show, you know, I don't think any of us were sitting here being like, no, Pisgah's going to take Brevard to the woodshed. But guys, we love the feedback. I mean, Shane Pope, great show, guys. Enjoy listening every week. Shout out to him. We Indeed. Love that.
Absolutely.
Shout out to him. And so, I mean, who wouldn't love? I mean, it's like I'm just imagining like Paxton being the dude in high school. It's like I would tune in. Like I would definitely.
I did talk to the friend of the show. He mentioned that maybe his family were not degenerate gamblers like maybe, well, you, Carson.
The rest of us. The rest of us.
I mean, the reason they have the 1-800 problem gambler, it's like, that number's for me.
That's us. That's us, dude.
I mean, that number's for me. It's like Commanders plus 3 last night. What a win.
Listen, if you don't go to work.
They didn't cover 33.
If the first time in you're in the week for the work week, you're not talking about how much money you lost, there's a problem.
Why do you think you work so hard?
I know, right?
So
I choose to invest personally.
Yes. Remember he gave us tips last week.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. But no.
All right. Well, let's talk about week 11. There were some conference championships decided. There was a lot that happened.
Yes.
So let's get into it. What do you think?
Yes, let's do that.
So we'll start with our out-of-town game. We had Burns at Shelby. Shelby, a 10.5-point home favorite. Well, they win, but they do not cover us. They win 36-35. Shelby scored the first 15. Then it was 22-14 at the half. Shelby quarterback Land Farmer, 27 of 32, 311 yards passing with 3 touchdowns. He also rushed it for 70 yards. And 2 touchdowns, guys. That's 5 touchdowns just for old Mr. Farmer.
I just saw a post. I believe that he has broken a record with, I think, 8,000 yards passing and 100 career touchdowns. That's pretty incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Carson and Mike got this one correct.
You'll be hearing a lot of that.
Well, Carson, nice. Not Mike. So next up, we had Murphy at Swain. Swain, a 3.5-point home underdog. Well, Murphy gets the win and covers as they win 28-0. Carson Lewis, Pat, Mike, we all got this one correct. Murphy has not lost since they lost to Reynolds. At halftime, this score was 7-0, and there are no stats on this game.
Hey, I got something for this that was pretty cool that happened this past week with that. I was in Bryson City doing my gig, you know, doing the job.
At Bojangles?
Well, near there, but okay. Yeah, not there. And I went in, and all of the staff were dressed up in their costumes, and there was a couple kids in there dressed up as costumes, too, and they were closing, and this is on a Thursday. And I was like, hey, what's going on? And
wait, they were closing?
They were closing for the day. They were shut down early.
And you were in there at noon?
I don't know what time I was in there. Anyway, it was in the afternoon. But regardless, they were all getting dressed up and stuff, so I was inquiring, you know, hey, what's going on? Why are you all shutting down early? And everybody's all dressed up. And apparently, that area, that town, flipped. They're trick-or-treating to Thursday so that the whole town could be available to attend that Swain-Murphy game. So I think that goes back to something that Lewis said earlier in the season about some of these smaller Western Carolina towns that all show up and show out on Friday nights for the high school team. That's pretty cool they would do that.
If you guys live in a town where they decide to worship the devil on Thursday instead of Friday because of football, you live in a great town.
Indeed.
Lewis.
Golly.
Clickbait Lewis.
Clickbait Lewis back at it. Back at it.
So next up, the game that cost Lewis the championship in the pick'em.
Yep.
Owen at Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage, a 40.5-point home favorite. They win, but they do not cover. Mount Heritage 42, Owen 6. The only stats that I was able to get from this game, Kaysen Jones had 6 catches for 158 yards and a touchdown, and Hayden Burpo had 4 catches for 116 yards and a touchdown. Lewis, what else you got?
I mean to be honest, Mountain Heritage, real deal. They're a very good team. A little foreshadowing, though. I cannot wait till next year because every time they needed anything they needed to happen, Kaysen Jones. So I can't wait to see the team without him next year.
He's just as advertised. I mean, he's an unbelievable football player.
Well, if you want him to run and get 12 yards, or if you want him to catch a pass and get 45, whatever you want, just tell him and he's going to get it done.
Indeed.
Fantastic football player.
Good
baseball player.
Yeah.
So next up, Hendersonville at Polk. Polk, a 36.5-point home underdog. Well, Polk kept this one close, guys. Hendersonville wins, but they only win 37-21.
And wasn't Polk winning at some point in this game?
Yes.
Well, just looking at this, I mean, you got to watch out for Polk in the playoffs. They barely get in with a 1-5 conference record. But watch out for them.
Oh, my gosh. So for Hendersonville, quarterback Jerron Ward, if Max Preps is correct, was 19 of 28 for 219 yards and 3 touchdowns. At halftime, Hendersonville was up 20-14. They did pull away a little bit in the second half. So Polk, a bit close than they are in the playoffs.
Who got that pick right?
No one.
No one.
Well, none of us got that one right. By the way, Carson, the only one to get the Owen game correct. Only one.
trusted him.
I didn't see. I was looking for the Lewis, but I didn't.
No, there was no L.
I know, right?
Wow.
So next up, North Henderson at Smoky Mountain. Smoky Mountain, a 10.5-point home underdog. North Henderson wins and covers 21-6. For North Henderson, running back Parker Willis, 32 carries for 255 yards and 3 touchdowns. We all got this one correct.
Was he tired this week or something?
Just 32
carries. Only 32. I mean, come on.
Damn.
What a game. What a game for that guy's had a great season.
Yes, indeed.
So next up, Franklin at West Henderson. I'll never learn my West Henderson lesson. West Henderson, a 12.5-point home underdog. And Franklin wins, but they do not cover, 24-14. For Franklin, quarterback Anderson Terrell, 8-14 for 72 yards and interception, but sophomore running back Garrett Young, 36 carries, 210 yards, and 3 touchdowns. For West, Cade Young, 9-14, 182 yards, a touchdown interception. Running back Zane McGraw, 59 yards rushing. As a team, West only had 77 yards rushing. Wide receiver Asa Osterman, 6 catches, 126 yards, and a touchdown. So West not able to get the running game going. Carson, the only one to get this one correct. You may have heard that before.
Let's not inflate Carson's head any more than it needs to be.
I think we should, because this week he's going to like pick on his thoughts instead of going against me. So, I mean, that means watch out.
I mean, you can say what you want. Regular season title, it's weighing it. It's sitting right here with me.
He won the regular season title, but I don't ever remember us stopping at the end of the regular season.
No.
We're still going.
Yeah, we're still in the fourth quarter, bud.
That's fine. I would rather be up with the lead with the ball in the fourth quarter.
Indeed. Sure. I mean, definitely.
For sure. So next up, what a game this was. Pisgah at Brevard. Brevard, a 12.5-point home favorite. Brevard wins. They do not cover, 36-30 in double overtime.
Wow.
Wow.
For Brevard, they finished the regular season undefeated. Running back Nyrell Skinner, 117 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jax Whitmire scored the winning touchdown. He also made the winning tackle in overtime. And he caught one pass for 61 yards. For Pisgah, Landon Pope, 41 carries, guys.
Gee, Lee.
But only 166 yards.
Yeah, I mean.
I know, Carson, math is your strong point. What is that per carry?
I'm going to go with less than 4 yards per carry. Is that right at 3.9?
You're wrong, Carson. That's 4.04 yards per carry.
Okay, I was way off. Damn.
Yeah.
What a game this was.
Yes.
Last week I came on the show, I said Brevard needs to lose before the playoffs.
So do you think this close call and double overtime is enough?
I don't know, man. Losing.
It does something.
It doesn't feel good, right?
No, it doesn't. It does something.
Especially you lose that last game before the playoffs. It just sets something afire.
It's either this game for both teams is either going to propel them one way or the other. Because it's a highly emotional game. They got the win. I don't know. I mean, it's like Mike says, do you take that if you're Brevard? It's like, I mean, or how hungry are they going to be this next 2 weeks?
We're getting ready to find out.
Yeah.
Brevard's got a week off to think about it.
They do.
So next up in the MAC, Irwin at North Buncombe. North Buncombe, a 28.5-point home underdog. Irwin takes care of business, 42-6.
Just a statement. I mean,
Pat, what the only to, one to get it right.
It
Pat.
Says P on the sheet right there, and that stands for Pat.
Well, I just didn't good think job, with Pat. The time yeah. and stuff, and it was I, like, I was think all of us were like, you know, we just don't think Irwin's got the firepower to you know, this year. To
They're back.
They're all the way back.
They're I back.
Mean, what a way
just
to
just in time for playoffs. They're back.
So.
They did. I mean, they took care of business. They struggled with Inca 2 weeks ago. Lost a heartbreaker to Asheville, but. I mean, they look good against North Buncombe.
Hey, good job to Inca. 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Putting the fear in people. I mean, first time. It was the first time to the standard, right?
Correct. So next up, Asheville at Inca. Inca, a 25.5-point home underdog. Asheville wins, but they don't cover. Asheville wins 20-17. For Asheville quarterback, Tay Williams was 8-13. He had 3 interceptions. Freshman running back, T.K. Davis, 12 carries, 120 yards. Can you do that math, Carson?
12 yes, carries, 120. 10 yards per carry on the dot.
10 yards a carry. For Inca, quarterback Logan Trantham, 9-14 for 130 yards, a touchdown, an interception. He also rushed it 20 times for 86 yards and a touchdown. A highly entertaining game. Carson, you got any stats, anything on this one?
Just, I mean, I'm, as you could imagine, probably pretty frustrating game for if you're on the Asheville Cougars side. I mean, you probably would like to win this, you know, more handily, come out, be focused. Obviously, the game did not, it was not the game they were expecting. And so, you know, they came out really surprised. I think everybody was shocked because we were like, we were just getting updates from it. And we're like, how much time is left? Irwin had the lead. And it was like 3 minutes. We're like, what quarter? Fourth. And I was like, holy shit, they're going to lose.
I really love at the point of the game where our person that was updating us on the score said FML.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But, you know, from the Asheville side of it, I mean, I think that they had obviously would say that they didn't do enough. They did not do their jobs on either side of the ball, but you know, I think offensively, it's you would definitely want to be able to not have as many turnovers. You should, probably would like to have scored more points and just, you know, be able to cruise instead of having such a high stressful game the week before the playoffs.
Well, I mean, but let's be honest. Like Asheville, 10 times out of 10, should run rule these guys. You know, like we're going
run
up.
Rules baseball, which is the
running clock. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're doing this.
Well, I just, it's one of those, you know, we've talked about it. I mean, with their age of players, with the injuries they've had and whatnot. But I still think that, you know, if you talk to anybody from the Asheville side, even with everything that's going on, I think they would tell you that the game should have, you know, it should not have been that close.
How many freshmen are they starting now? Do you
a
even,
bunch.
I mean,
bunch.
It's like, I don't know. Is it close to number? Half?
I would say so.
I think on defense, it's more than half is underclassmen on defense.
So the cool thing about a win like this, I mean, like that victory, think about the gains from that, from those freshmen when they're seniors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And Mike made a good point. It's like, I think Inca is playing better football now than probably when they started the, and I'm not saying taking anything away from, you know, Asheville should have played better in the game definitely. And when you have a spread that big, the game should have not been that close.
And you may have already said this, but Asheville's down 11 with 8 minutes left, and Inca had the ball in the red zone.
Yep.
And Asheville won. I mean, that's wild.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Yep.
So I mean, if you're...
What an exciting game.
If you're Inca this morning, I mean, you're just like, you're not... I think when you are that close to winning, and it's like when you... You know, they're not taking the moral victory of, God, we played them so close. I think they probably are like, I think they're still probably disappointed that they didn't win because that's something. When you're up 11 with 8 minutes to go, I mean, that's...
Yeah, you want to close it out.
Close it out, yep.
Hey, but yeah, good for them. I'm glad they're playing well at the end of the season.
Absolutely.
Hopefully they'll do well next year.
Yeah. So next up, the last game of the weekend, Reynolds at TC. TC at a 6.5-point home favorite. Well, guys, they win and cover 21-14.
Let's go.
For TC, quarterback Karat Harris, 7 of 10 for 63 yards, a touchdown. He also ran it 20 times for 76 yards and a touchdown. Running back Muka Simpson, 13 carries, 95 yards. For you, Carson, that's 7.3 yards a carry.
Wow.
The last time they beat Reynolds was 2011. Their last conference championship was 2012. And the last outright conference championship was 2004. For Reynolds, quarterback Avery Hollifield, 19 of 26, 252 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. Running back Ty Patterson, 24 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown. And wide receiver Trey Keeter, 6 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. Carson, Lewis, and Mike got this one correct. Pat, you and I were at the game.
Indeed.
What'd you see here? You're the Reynolds guy.
Yeah, so this game, again, followed the pattern of the penalty situation, and they kept getting behind the sticks. This is ACR.
In the first half, they couldn't get out of their own way.
It was really, again, a hard game to watch in the first half offensively. Mike, you pointed it out. They got behind the sticks, but somehow, some way, they managed to get the first downs and get back. However, I don't think I'm the only one that felt this way. There toward the end of the first half when TC was looking like they were going to drive and put it up 21-0, I mean, you could have almost – it almost looked like it was just going to be, you know, a TC Robertson blowout for the conference title.
Yeah, Pat and I were like, if they score here and go 21-0, we're headed to the tavern. It's cold. TC's dominating. We're out of here. Well, They didn't get the third touchdown.
Well, no, they didn't get the third touchdown. And you know that quarterback you already mentioned, the quarterback and that running back for T.C. Robertson are legit. I mean, they were very, very, very fast, very good athletes, both of them. And it was interesting to see they didn't get that touchdown at the half. And then you flip it around and come out of the locker room.
Reynolds got the ball first.
Yeah, Reynolds got the ball first. And Coach Craig was able to make the adjustments because T.C. Robertson doesn't score again until the very end of the game with that game-winning touchdown, and Reynolds manages to get back into this thing. Penalties still prevalent again in the second half, but not nearly as bad as it was in the first half.
Are we talking a lot of holds, personal fouls? What is it?
I saw holds. There was a lot of false starts. Yeah. You know, obviously the false starts, the mental error stuff again. So in that regard, that was hard to watch. And, you know, I'm glad Reynolds was able to overcome a lot of that stuff. But at the end of the day, congrats to T.C. Robertson. I mean, they were able to get it done, and they win the MAC title, and good on them. Good for them.
I heard a couple things was, you know, the halftime adjustments, because I mean, I think, did Mike mention it, that Robertson's first down, their first down of the second half, was on the fourth quarter on the drive they scored a touchdown.
That's true. I believe that's to be correct. Here's the thing I wonder. Listen. I believe Robertson coach probably wins coach of the year in the MAC.
Oh, yeah.
Robertson in the past, we've talked to coaches, and they've told us, you know, maybe Robertson not always ready for the big game. Were they playing not to lose in the second half instead of still trying to play to win and having their foot on the gas? I don't know.
Yeah.
Reynolds always makes good halftime
adjustments. They always make great halftime adjustments. And then, too.
But TC couldn't. They did not do anything offensively in the second half.
And Reynolds' quarterback in the second half, Holifield, you know, he missed all those games in the middle of the season. He started this past game and the game prior. He got absolutely tattooed back there. He got knocked. Yeah. I mean, for a loop by, I think it was number 45, I think was the edge rusher that did that. But he was out. He was out after the game. And Reimer comes in, and he orchestrates a pretty good drive there at the very end of the game. Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Rockets, I'm not going to speculate on the man's health, but it looked like, it appeared to be probably another concussion, and it also, he went out on a cart. They were trying not to move his body. I would not anticipate seeing Holifield this week.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know either. Just a speculation on my part, I think you're back with Colt Reimer.
Yeah, and I know he got hit hard. That much I can tell you. As far as where he's hurting, or
he did not
how
come
hurting,
back
no
into the
idea.
Game. And yeah. And on that pass, the crazy thing about that pass, Pat. So we're talking about Reynolds tie ball game. Reynolds just has the ball. What, the 5 yard line?
Yeah, he got hit right inside
and he
before the end zone.
Yeah, he drops back there at the end zone and throws a pass up. Well, I'll be 100% honest. Pat and I were closer to the football than any Rocket receiver.
Yeah, there was nobody over there.
Not sure who he was throwing it to.
T.C. Robertson.
But, Avery Holifield, I mean, he got hit hard.
Yeah.
He did not come back in the game.
So was it intentional grounding?
No, it was an interception.
Yeah, oh, it was an interception. Okay.
And then, so, Robertson able to take advantage of the short field. You know, they're there on the 35 or 40, and they're able to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And win the game. So, Reynolds they put together a good drive. I really thought we were headed to overtime.
Did too.
And Pat said it. Congrats to, none of us had Robertson winning the MAC.
Congratulations to Coach.
Yes.
Lewis had him pick fifth.
Fifth. Pat, I do have a question
that
for you.
Is indeed. Crazy.
Why'd you do that facial
because
expression?
I just don't know what to expect here.
We were talking about this before you got here. 2 years in a row.
Yes.
Reynolds has not won the conference championship. Is the program going in a good direction?
All programs go through this type of thing, and I don't doubt that Reynolds will get through this as well and still prevail.
I love programs, how much you stuttered there.
They keep going. They get it done. They figure it out. They put the pieces together. I have no
2 years
no
in a
doubt.
Row.
Yeah, but listen. So we talk about Reynolds. They lost some non-conference games. That's nothing new. Reynolds loses non-conference games because they're getting ready for the playoffs.
Yes.
They've lost two conference games in the last two seasons by a combined 14 points. That's 7 points a game.
Good job, Mike.
Good math. Yes.
I mean, who is the standard when you talk about fast food? Who's the standard?
Chick-fil-A. Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. So if you go to Chick-fil-A and you get a bad sandwich one time, are they no longer the standard? Is Wendy's now the standard?
If I go there twice in a row, probably not good.
They're still the standard.
It's not.
If you had two bad visits in 2 years' time, They're still the standard.
You got college coaches getting fired for less than this.
We're certainly not talking about college coaches. We're not talking about the amount of money or the amount of pressure that high school coaches have versus college coaches.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah. They are definitely, I mean, their last time they've lost more than one conference game was 2014. I don't even know how old I was when the last time they lost by more than 7 points to a conference opponent. In my opinion, my vote, which I am the single, the regular season champion, I would say
Jesus.
I would say that they are still the standard.
Amen.
I think so. The new standard is getting to the big game and then losing it. Cool. I'm glad that's the standard.
Agony.
So listen, the standard for West North Carolina is not to win a state championship. It's not even to make a huge run in the playoffs because, listen, we have a friend that says around here good.
Yeah.
And the teams are around here good. You can win around here. You can win your conference. You can, but you're not going to make a deep run in the playoffs because you have to play more talented football teams.
So Brevard is around here good.
They have yet to win a state championship this Correct. Era. Same for Mount Heritage.
TC around here good.
TC are definitely around here good.
But they won the MAC.
They did win the MAC.
So, I mean, I'm just saying. So winning the conference championship means nothing around here then.
Well, I said for 2 years now we should do away with conferences and just do RPI.
I love that as well.
So, no, yes, I think conference championships matter because the teams around here generally, now there are exceptions, generally will not win a state championship. Super hard. Now, it's easier with 8A, but it's hard to win a state championship. But you can sell your kids on, we're going to win the conference championship, and you can get them fired up for that. And you can put that ball on the wall or whatever you want to do there. But, I mean, if you're talking about realistic expectations, only one team, only eight teams from the state now win a state championship. Eight.
Yeah.
I don't know how many teams there are. I want to say there's at least 450 teams in the state of North Carolina.
I know it was upper 300s at least. So
there's a lot. I don't know the exact number, and I guess I should apologize for not knowing, but eight will win a state championship in football.
Yes, they will.
So, hey. Let's talk about the final standings from the conferences. All right, Lewis, which conference you want to start with?
Let's do the MAC.
Okay. Okay. So as we talked about, TC finishes the conference standings 5-0. Reynolds 4-1. Asheville's third at 3-2. Irwin, last year's conference champion at 2-3. Inca 1-4 with their win over North Buncombe, and North Buncombe 0-5. Four of the six make the playoffs. Let's talk about the Mountain Eight. The Mountain Eight, Brevard, 7-0 after their overtime win with Pisgah. Franklin, 6-1. Pisgah, 5-2. West, 4-3. Tuscola, 3-4. North Henderson, 2-5. Smoky, 1-6. East Henderson, winless, 0-7. And with the Mountain Eight, Mount Heritage, 6-0. Hendersonville, 5-1. Mitchell, 4-2. Owen 3-3, Madison 2-4, Polk 1-5, and Avery 0-6.
You know what I'll say?
Go ahead. I got something to say too.
I'm transplanted, obviously, to the area, so I don't have the history with the high school sports that you guys have. I've only been, you know, paying attention to it, you know what, 6-7 years now, maybe tops. And this has been a really exciting year for watching, you know, keeping up with these scores and stuff. I mean, there've been some real battles in these conferences that we've been covering. It's been fun.
It's been nice to see too that, I mean, we usually in years past, I think, and this is probably what's clouding Lewis, was that we've had so many dominant teams that have just ran away with it where there's not, I mean, when's the last time do you think Inca or North Buncombe was relatively close at the end of the first quarter or with Asheville High or Reynolds?
Really? Yeah, you all always bring up that thing about, do you ever really want to go to an Inca and AC Reynolds football game? Well, I'll say this.
Evidently, yes.
I would have liked to have been at that Inca-Asheville game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, that looked like that was a great game to go to.
The parity competitive level, I mean, there's been some really, really good games this year.
So, you know, the ability to transfer all over the county, I think, makes a difference.
Well, the leveling has been good.
It's all leveled out.
Unless you're an ACR fan, the leveling has been good.
Agony.
And here's another wild take I'll give you. I would love to see, if everybody would be transparent across Western North Carolina, I would love to see MAC gates versus the other two conferences we cover. I would think the Mountain Eight and the Western Highland Conference has made more money off of football this year than the MAC.
So I posted a video. I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot about it. I posted a video of the TC Robertson game. I mean, TC Reynolds game. 4 minutes till kickoff. Pat, the home side was empty.
Yeah. Well, maybe half full, but yeah.
Half full.
But it filled in.
It did fill in some, yeah. It was a pretty good crowd. I think probably a bigger crowd than Hendersonville Mount Heritage, only because there's more stands.
You got
it's bigger schools.
You have Franklin closing down Halloween on Thursday to go to the game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, yes. And in the small towns, you're going to have a higher percentage of people in the town go to the game. That's just as long as you have a good team. Now, if you're Avery, they're not shutting the town down for anything. They're 1-6.
Right? No, I feel that. I feel that.
0-6. 0-6.
Mountain
Heritage. Flat Rock. I mean, East Mountain Harrison, Heritage. The town's wide open.
Mountain Heritage. Everybody was at the game.
Yeah. Mitchell, ball everybody at the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
But you were at the conference championship in 4 minutes to go.
Yeah, but it did fill out. And Reynolds traveled very well. I mean, that visitor side was packed.
Pretty full. But, Pat, compared to the visitor side at Robertson to the home side at Reynolds, what's the percentage?
I think it's 30, maybe. It's like third of the size. Think about it. The amount of people you can fit on that side is what he's saying.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, okay.
It's like a third of the stands.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And we're not talking about a long trip.
No.
Now, on 26 on a Friday.
Oof.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Pat didn't show up until kickoff.
And
it is tough
because, I mean, you got to think. I mean, I was sending pictures, and obviously no one cares about football in Weaverville, but Weaverville was, with Halloween being on Friday night, that's tricky.
Did you guys go trick or treating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
All right, guys. Let's talk about the Triple D, Double T, the Derek's Dirty Dozen.
So, yes, first of all, I'd like to make a comment about you all's effort to, I guess, imitate my performance of
We could not do Pat's voice at all.
Derek's Triple D, Double T. I thought it was actually very entertaining. I thought there was some great talent espoused by all three of you.
Who had the best Pat voice?
Each of you have your own little flair. You each have a little, like, something to offer there. That if you could put the three of you together, you might get to maybe a third of my talent. But that's neither here nor there.
Wow.
I'm kidding. No, you guys did great. It was very funny. I liked it. I got quite a kick out of it.
Indeed it does.
I mean, I'm 33.
So we're going to go through, and I'll give you the skinny on this thing right here. Here we go. Derek's Triple D, Double T. Chiming in at number 10, West Henderson comes in with a 6-4 mark. They were previously number 9. The Falcons' offense sputtered to close out the season. They were unable to overcome two costly turnovers and averaged just over 3 yards per carry en route to a 24-14 loss to Franklin. Mills River will see a home playoff game this Friday as East Rowan pays a visit.
Rowan?
Okay, yes. So East Rowan pays a visit. Look for the Falcons to put up some big numbers this Friday in what should be an easy first-round playoff win. Now for number 9.
We call this team the private school from West Asheville.
Private school from West Asheville, 5-2-1 on the season. Formerly in at number 10, the Blues had an extra week to prepare for their first round game against Wayne Christian out of Goldsboro. The private school in West Asheville looks to have an easy road to the state championship game as they only have to win this one and one more to reach the final. Barring any crazy upsets, the Blues will look to average their loss against High Point Christian Academy if they want to claim the title this year. Now for number 8. The Cougars of Asheville, also holding steady from their 8 ranking the prior week, in at number 5-5 on the season. The Cardiac Cougs gave voters a scare on Friday night, barely edging out the Jets of Anka 20-17. Freshman TK Davis was the bright spot for the High with 12 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown. A home playoff game against Western Guilford will prove to be one of the tougher challenges for WNC teams in week 1 of the playoffs. A playoff win for this young bunch will go a long way for their confidence moving forward into the next season. Now for number 7, The Rockets of A.C. Reynolds, formerly in the 5 spot, chiming in at 6-4, the Rockets dropped 2 spots from their number 5 ranking last week after a heartbreaking loss in the de facto MAC championship game in Arden Friday night. A slow start offensively was too much to overcome as the Rockets fought from behind to tie it late before eventually failing and falling to the Rams. The Rockets should roll at home this Friday against a depleted South Caldwell squad. The question remains at quarterback for A.C. Reynolds as Avery Hollifield was injured late in the game. Now for number 6, your Bears of Pisgah, 7-3 on the season. Formerly number 7, they move up a spot. It is not often that the voters reward a loss, but the Bears move up a spot after pushing WNC's best in Brevard to double overtime. Despite coming in third place in the Mountain 8, the Bears are number 4 overall and a first-round bye in the playoffs. They await the winner of West Iredale and Ashe County. Did I mispronounce that, Mike?
No, you're correct on those.
Hallelujah. And Ashe County... Look for Canton's finest to make a deep run in the 4A state playoff picture. A fourth round rematch against Brevard is looking like a possibility. Now, number 5, Franklin in at 8-2. Formerly number 6, the voters had many concerns about the ability of the Panthers defense to play in space with athletic, fast-paced offenses. The Panthers heard the noise and answered the call on Friday night. As we mentioned before, Franklin held the West Henderson ground game to just 77 rushing yards on the night. Franklin finishes up in second place in the deep Mountain 8 and also earned a coveted first-round bye that comes with being the number 6 seed in the 5A playoffs. They will face the winner of Forest Hills and fellow Mountain 8 member Smoky Mountain. Now, for number 4, Hendersonville, also holding at number 4, 8-2 on the season.
Take 2 sips.
Holding last at number 4 in the power ranking is Hendersonville. However, it is not without some concern. The Bearcats were locked in a one-possession battle against a less-than-stellar Polk County team going into the fourth quarter. But good teams show up late in games, and that's just what Hendersonville did.
That's so true.
When they put up 17 in the final frame to escape Columbus with a 37-21 win. The Bearcats host East Davidson as the 9 overall seed heading into Friday night. Jerron Ward and company should have a big night, as East Davidson only has 1 win on the season. Ridiculous. And gives up almost 32 points per game. Wow. Now for number 3, also holding their spot, T.C. Robertson, 7-3, the first outright conference title in 21 years was the prize at the end of a long season for Robertson. To make it even sweeter, they won it by beating their crosstown rival for the first time since 2011. The Rams have consistently improved as the season has progressed. This season will likely go down as one of J.D. Dinwiddie's best coaching jobs since his arrival in Arden. The switch to Karad Harris was the catalyst for the Rams' success and paid dividends when the sophomore led in the eventual game-winning drive with less than 2 minutes to go in the game. The win not only secured the conference title, but also a first-round bye and the 7 overall seed in the 8A playoffs. The bye will allow the Rams to catch their breath and heal up following the emotional physical game this past Friday. Kings Mountain looks to be the second-round matchup looming for the Rams.
Ooh,
that'll be a tough one. Now on to the number 2 spot. Holding at number 2, 9-1, Mountain Heritage. As we always say on Behind the Beard, good teams win and great teams cover. Mountain Heritage was simply a good team on Friday night as they failed to cover the spread against a scrappy Owen bunch. The Cougars used the game as a tune-up and were able to rest some key players late in this one. Despite just being a good team, This past Friday, Mountain Heritage remains at number 2 in the power rankings this week as they prove once again to be elite amongst WNC talent. The number 1 overall seed in the 3A playoffs sets the Cougars up for a short state title. However, 8 seed Lincolnton will be a tough matchup to draw in the third round, should the bracket hold true. The 3A West bracket is a murderer's row as it is filled with great teams. It will be a tall task for the Cougars to make it through, but having teams come up the mountain will be a definitive advantage that the black and green must top in order to survive and advance.
It's almost like the double mountain, right? You've got to come up Old Fort Mountain, and then you got to go up another mountain to get to Mount Heritage.
You do, and then it's very thin air up there.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's quite all right. Holding at number 1, the undefeated Brevard. The class of WNC for the 2025 season was pushed to the edge this past Friday. The Blue Devils escaped the final week with a double overtime win to secure the conference title, undefeated season, and number 1 overall seed in the 4A playoffs. Originally, the voters have given the nod to Mountain Heritage as one of the favorites to return a state title to WNC. However, the 4A bracket shapes up nicely for the Blue Devils to make a deep run and potentially bring their respective title home. Now, there's a couple of last additions from Derek. No one dropped out, it looks like, this week. And no other people received votes, according to Derek. So the voters took the week off. Great, but he does make mention, great teams, Owen.
They covered.
Owen covered. Owen is a great team.
If Lewis would have just picked them,
then we would be tied for first.
Indeed.
Man, so sad.
So there you have it. Derek's triple D, double T.
Are we ready to talk about playoffs?
We are.
Let's do
playoffs.
It.
Playoffs? We're talking about playoffs? So we're going to start with 3A, Mount Heritage, like they mentioned, first round bye. Number 24, East Davidson, 1-9, Carson. They won one game.
How do you
make the playoffs with one game?
I don't know. North Buncombe's trying to find out.
I mean, that's the whole 8A thing,
right? It's tough.
So East Davidson at Hendersonville. Hendersonville 8-2, 5-1 in the conference. They're a 46.5-point home favorite. 46.5.
That's a lot of points.
Wow.
East Davidson is from Thomasville, North Carolina. Their only win is against Trinity. They score 12 points a game while giving up 32. They haven't scored more than 21 in any of their 10 losses. Nine losses. They have no stats since week 3.
Indeed.
Lewis, what you thinking here?
I think this is a good opener for Hendersonville. Hopefully Hendersonville makes a bit deep run here, but I do feel like Hendersonville is going to take this one. It's a lot of points now.
Hendersonville generally scores a lot of points against bad teams, except last week.
I know. So I really feel they're going to have to pour it on in the first half.
Carson, this team has one win on the year. Carson, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
You're good. I'm going to go with East Davidson, keeping it within 46 points.
Hendersonville is going to win this game. Of that, I have no doubt. But I don't know enough about East Davidson. But based on what you just said a minute ago, Mike, that's kind of the tipping point for me. And I'm going to follow Carson's lead and take the points with East Davidson.
No, Hendersonville wins by probably 70. I think so, too.
It's going to be 55 or more in the first half.
I hope so.
All right, so next up, 19 Union Academy. They're 4-6 overall at Owen. 5-5, 3-3 in the conference. Owen, a 7.5-point home favorite. Union Academy is from Monroe. They've lost 3 of their last 4, and they're only 2-3 on the road. They average 24 points a game while giving up 26. They're led by sophomore quarterback Nick Mendoza, 153 yards a game with 14 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. They rush for 149 yards a game. No running back averages more than 66 yards a game. Senior linebacker, I can't read my own writing here. Donato averages 8 tackles a game. Owen, after starting 4-2, they've hit the skids. They've lost 3 of their last 4. Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with this is so
you got to pick Owen.
I know.
You're guys.
I know.
Pick
I'm supposed Owen. To. But I'm going to go with Union Academy here.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Keeping it within 7.5.
That's my boys. That's my boys over there.
Hey, give me the War Horses. I'll take them.
Yeah, Owen wins this game by a lot.
I think so, too. Owen.
This is the same way it shaped up last week, but the other
this
way.
This is crazy.
So next up, Madison at West Davidson. West Davidson, a 21.5-point home favorite. West Davidson is from Lexington, North Carolina, Carson. You know where that is.
I do.
They've won 4 in a row. They rush for 195 yards a game. And they are 4-1 at home. They score 30 while giving up 16. Madison has lost 4 of their last 5.
No surprise.
Pat, what are you thinking here?
I'm going to take West Davidson here if I could, please. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I think Madison keeps it close. They probably don't win, but they keep it close. Lewis, what do you think?
So you're picking Madison.
I'm taking Madison, yes.
You know, Madison, this last week, they really put on a show.
It was close.
It was close. With Mitchell. Yeah, with Mitchell. So I feel like they might have learned something. I'm also going to go pick Madison.
Wow. Carson?
Yeah, y'all are smart. I'm going to go. I will not be picking up a game on Lewis on that one. But I'm going to go with Madison as well.
Madison.
And keep it within 21.5 points.
Are you writing this down so you don't have to ask us later?
Yep.
Okay, good.
We're right here.
All right, that's it for 3A. 4A, Brevard and Pisgah get a bye. Two teams from the same conference, number 1, number 4, they get a bye. That's pretty cool.
That's
very cool.
That is.
That's how a strong conference should look.
Well, and I also, you know, with them not, you know, giving the automatic byes to just the conference winner.
Correct.
Which is the greatest thing.
It is good.
That they got rid of that? Yes. Yes, I agree. Because Pisgah, I mean, Brevard, what great years they've had. I mean, awesome stuff.
So what they're referring to is, used to, all the conference championship, all the conference champions got a bye.
Even in a split conference.
Even in a split conference. Irwin, they haven't had the best year. But they're the conference champions for 5A. And so they did not get a bye. All right, so 4A, Brevard, Pisgah get a bye. Number 21, East Burke, 4-6, travels to Tuscola, 5-5. Tuscola, a home, 13.5-point favorite. Tuscola beat East Henderson last week, 46-0. They have lost 3 of their last 4, and they're only 2-3 at home. East Burke, they're out of Conley Springs, North Carolina. They're 3-2 on the road. They score 27 while giving up 26. They won 62-8 against Drawn last week. They are a run-first team. Senior running back Burkeen, 111 yards a game and 14 touchdowns. Junior quarterback Bennett, 87 yards passing a game while rushing for 53. Am I up on this one?
Yes.
I'm taking East Burke. Lewis?
I was thinking the same thing. Tuscola, I mean, they just haven't had that dog in them this year. East Burke.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with East Burke as well, but I'm not calling for – that's not my – spot to call for a man's job.
You're not calling for the firing of Jonathan Grubb?
No.
Okay. Pat?
Unanimous.
So Pat, I do just want to help you with the math a little bit, Pat.
Okay.
Eventually, you're going to have to pick against us to not be in last.
Indeed. Indeed. Or I'll just keep digging a hole deeper, which is also possible, apparently, with my math.
So next up, we're to 5A. Franklin. Number 6 seed gets a bye. Irwin, the 17 seed, 3-7 overall, travels to number 16, Huss. Huss, 5-5 on the year. Huss is out of Gastonia. They have lost 4 of their last 5. They finished 5th in the Big South. They throw it for 132 yards a game while rushing for 99. They score 20 while giving up 25. For Irwin, they score 23 while giving up 29, and they have lost 2 of their last 3. Pat, what are you thinking here?
Give me Irwin.
Woo.
They have one common opponent, and that is TC. Irwin lost 42-22, while Huss lost 12-10. Now, this was early in the season. TC, not
the
team they are.
Quarterback switch as well.
Lewis?
I'm going to have to pick Huss.
I'm taking Irwin here. Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Huss as well.
Just so you know, strength of schedule, Irwin 73, Huss 111.
Cool.
Not a huge disparity there.
Right. You know, he waited till we made our picks.
Though. Did I tell you? I may not have told you. Huss is a 3.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Yes. I couldn't remember. So next up, East Rowan, 4-6. They're the 21 seed, traveling to West Henderson. West, the 12 seed, a 27.5-point home favorite. West is 2-2 in their last four. They score 28 while giving up 23. They have struggled against run teams. East Rowan, they score 17 while giving up 31. They've lost three of their last four. Sophomore quarterback Cobble, 102 yards a game, 10 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, while sophomore running back Lyons, 65 yards a game and 5 touchdowns. They only rush 107 yards as a team on the season.
On the season?
107 yards a game the season.
A game, all right.
I think this one's easy. This is West.
I do. Yeah, I'm there with you.
Carson?
You hear that long sigh he had?
The long sigh. I want to take the points so bad. But I think
West wins by a lot.
I think West wins by a lot here. I think we could be running clock territory.
Mm-hmm. Patrick?
Yes, West.
All right. Next up, 22, Smoky Mountain travels to 11, Forest Hills. Forest Hills, a home 21.5-point favorite. For Forest Hills, they're in Marshville, North Carolina. They finished third in the Rocky River Conference. They throw it for 63 yards a game while rushing it for 148. Smoky Mountain has lost five in a row. Carson, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Forest Hills big.
Also going Forest Hills big. Pat?
Same.
Lewis?
The pick sheet is not going to look good, but I'm also going Forest Hills.
So next up in 5A, our biggest division by far, number 18, North Henderson, 4-6, travels to number 15, North Davidson. North Davidson, a 7.5-point home favorite. They're out of Lexington, North Carolina. They finished third in the Piedmont Triad Conference. They've won three of their last four. They lost to Oak Grove last week, 46-9. They have incomplete stats, but they score 21 a game while giving up 17. For North Henderson, they give up 42 points in consecutive weeks before beating Smoky last week, 21-6. They score 29 while giving up 28. North Henderson is in a lot of games. They could have finished a lot better than 4-6. That run game is fantastic.
Did you say this is a pick'em?
No. North Davidson is a 7.5-point favorite.
That was a last-minute audible because
the sheet doesn't show spread, but that's good to know. I'm glad you shared that.
I'm glad he shared it before I made my pick.
It doesn't say it on there?
It does not, but we're...
So listen. North Henderson on the road.
Uh-oh.
Send help.
Upset alert. North Henderson wins this one by probably 2 touchdowns.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Mike.
Yeah. Carson, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I've got North Davidson here.
What?
The travel, dude. I've made that bus ride. I've made that bus ride. It's off the mountain. All we've talked about all year.
The difference is North Henderson can run the ball.
Running the ball and being able to control the clock's huge, but I've got North Davidson here. The travel's going to be too much.
Patty?
North Henderson.
Lewis?
North Davidson.
All right. Last but not least, 6A. TC gets the bye with their win over Reynolds. We have number 18, Western Guilford, 5-5, traveling to Asheville, who finished 5-5. But listen to this. Western Guilford's strength of schedule, 180. Asheville, 61.
That's my Cougars.
The Cougars have won three in a row. They haven't been beautiful, but they've won 160 yards a game rushing while 152 yards a game passing. For Western Guilford, they're out of Greensboro, North Carolina. They finished fifth in the Metro. They've lost three in a row. And in those three, guess what? They've scored two while giving up 46.
Oof.
They've lost four of their last five. They use five quarterbacks who average 68 yards a game through the air.
Five quarterbacks in a season?
Yes. They rush it for 234 yards a game and 27 touchdowns. In 17 games, they've had a 100-yard rusher. They beat bad teams, but they get crushed by good teams. Pat, who are you thinking here?
Well, you know, I think Asheville will actually win this
game. But
I'm taking
their 12.5-point favorite, Asheville is.
Yeah, but that's the thing here. The thing that you just rattled off kind of scares me a little bit because you know how badly beat up Asheville is, and they've got the young players out there and
even
the defense.
Even when they were healthy, they struggled to stop the run.
And that's the thing. They're going up against a run team. So where I think Asheville, I think, will win, I think it's going to be closer than the spread of 12.5. So give me Western Guilford.
Ooh,
Carson.
Yeah, I've picked against them quite a bit for them being my boys.
These are your boys. Let's go.
I'm going to go with Western Guilford.
What?
Yeah. Asheville, the Cougars of Asheville win this game.
Asheville's been through all of this bull crap in this season to win this game. I'm going to Asheville.
This is running clock Asheville.
Okay.
They all win.
Me and Pat will be on the winning island.
I don't think so. Next up, 24 South Caldwell. They're 2-8, 0-5 in their conference, but still made the playoffs. They take on Reynolds, who is 6-4, 4-1 in the conference. Reynolds, a 38.5-point favorite. They lost to TC last week. They throw it for 150 and rush it for 160 yards a game. They have 12 rushers who average more than 33 yards a game. For South Caldwell, they're at Hudson, North Carolina. They only score 20 points a game, Lewis. While giving up 44. That's not good. So South Caldwell scores 20 while giving up 44. They've lost six in a row. One common opponent is TC. South Caldwell lost 42-6, while Reynolds lost last week 21-14. Pat?
Obviously,
picking Reynolds here?
Yeah, you know I'm picking Reynolds here. Of course I'm picking Reynolds
more than
here.
38.5?
Yes, because look, they're going to come back. They're going to want to get a statement made here and really come out and demonstrate that they've got things going on. Now, here's the thing. They've got to get this penalty thing figured out. Okay,
it's a little late.
It's hard to teach discipline in the first
week. They've got to get that sorted out. And here's the silver lining, if there is such a thing, for an injury to the quarterback for Reynolds. Because, you know, he got injured in the Brevard game. And then you got Reimer coming in off the bench, and he had all the performances through the middle part of the season. Holifield comes back. Obviously, unfortunately, he got hurt again. Regardless of the quarterback situation now coming into the playoffs, Reynolds has a proven quarterback no matter which way they go. Because I thought Holifield looked actually pretty good in the TC game Friday night.
No, he looked great.
Yeah, he was able to execute the offense, I thought, very well. So I'm very optimistic. I think they're going to have a very good bounce back game here and get it done and get it done right.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I know South Caldwell's bad. Okay. But 38.5 points is too many points for
that's
me.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I'm going to take those points. So I'm going to start the game and it's 38-0 South Caldwell. And I'm just going to hope to hang on for dear life.
You're not going to. Reynolds wins this one by 50-plus. I'm taking Reynolds. It doesn't matter. Pat could be the quarterback. They'd win big in this one. Go ahead, Lewis.
Hey, I'm a pretty good quarterback,
I'm
right?
Sure you are.
Come on, Lewis.
38.5 is a lot of
points. It's a lot of points. So in the playoffs, though, I mean, is Reynolds going to be up 30 in the third and fourth quarter? I mean, are they going to be pushing the ball down the field?
Hey, do you think South Caldwell's better than Inca?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. I think Reynolds is up probably 40 by halftime.
What about, didn't you say they played Freedom? What was the score of the Freedom
game? What was
the
score of the Freedom game?
So for Freedom, Reynolds lost 20-7. 70. They lost by 50.
20-70.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
South Caldwell lost 35-57.
Okay, so 50 or 20.
But here's the thing.
Okay, so South Caldwell's 30 points better than Reynolds.
Here's the thing. Going in, when you play Inca, North Buncombe, South Caldwell, you're not pumped up. You're not playing your best. When Reynolds comes to town, you're playing your best.
It's because they're the standard.
They're the standard. That's right, Lewis. That's right. You finally got it right. They're the standard.
That's exactly right.
Who has it picked? Do you have it picked?
I haven't picked.
Are you going to pick, or are you just going to sit there?
I've already wrote it down, so go ahead and say it.
I'm going to pick South Caldwell.
Yep, that's the dumbest pick.
Boom.
All right. Who has the fun question? Carson? Pat?
I do not have one today.
If you had to choose at a cold football game a shacket or flannel or pullover, what are you going with?
What the hell's a shacket?
Yeah.
That's that heavy thing that looks like you. I got mine after you got yours.
Are you speaking English?
No. It's a full shirt thing that's just really thick, and it's patterned like a
flannel.
It's like a flannel, but it's like real thick.
How my flannel is.
Kind of got the fur inside of
it.
Yeah.
What do you go?
Don't you have some boots with fur?
He does. Boots with the fur.
Are you agony? I just got apple-bottom jeans.
Apple-bottom jeans.
Yes, he did.
Carson, go ahead.
I can't believe all right. That's how cultured all of you guys are. I'm going to go with, first off, it's obviously a couple layers, but hoodie for sure.
You're a hoodie guy.
Definitely a hoodie guy. But then, like, preferably, I'm doing a hoodie with a jacket over top of it, but the hood that can still come up over.
Smart play.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Just for WLOS, I'm going to do the shirtless body paint.
Nice.
Lewis is those crazy fans in Green Bay where it's like negative 10 degrees. Lewis has got his shirt off.
I've always wanted to go to Green Bay when it's cold and go shirtless.
Fantastic game.
So listen, I'm a heated vest guy.
Oh, that's right. You had that on. Yeah.
I want the heated vest on the core, and I'm going to cover it with probably a hoodie.
Mike's sitting here touching his core where the heated vest goes.
I like touching Mike's core.
Yeah.
I'm a layers guy, like you guys mentioned just a second ago. I need the t-shirt, the flannel, I need the pullover, the scarf, the gloves.
There's a difference between you and Carson. What are you, like a medium?
I'm an XL.
So Carson's a medium.
You're not an XL.
And you and I have to have like lots of clothes to cover us.
I'm 2XL. I need tarps to cover me.
Tarps, yes. We're tarps, blankets. Yes. We have heated vests that were made in China. You have to order 6XL because, Chinese people are a lot smaller than us.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, thank you all for tuning in. It's been a great
show.
Playoffs are up.
Playoffs. Ooh.